Chapter 11. Tyrae stormed through the crowded restaurant, darting through the greasy air and the rows of tables as he moved toward the door. He had almost reached it when he heard a familiar wheeze. He looked up to see Bones at the last table near the door. A silvery burger wrapper slathered with ketchup rested in front of him. Bits of fries and a sliver of roll were all that remained of his meal. For a second, their eyes met.
"Man, not now," Tyrae thought to himself, rushing to the door.
He had to stop and wait as a woman and two kids walked in. Tyrae could barely keep still as the kids struggled with the heavy door. He could feel Bones examining him. Instinctively, he felt the money in his pocket and then bolted out the door. Outside, the sun hung just above the horizon like an angry red eyeball. Long shadows stretched across the sidewalk, and the streets were bathed in a bloody glow. Tyrae hurried. Cars thundered past. Some throbbed with a thumping bass that rattled windows and shook the pit of his stomach, but he didn't care. Lark was the only one who stood by him in Bluford, the only one who had trusted him and his promise, the only one who stopped each day at school from being an unending desert. Now she needed his help. He had to get Kyle away from Londell no matter what, even if it would make him a target. Tyrae turned off Union Street. He glanced at his cast. He could still see the words Lark wrote, though they were faded and stained in the dying sunlight. T's promise. "That's right," he mumbled to himself, walking past a house with a busted fence and graffiti scrawled on the front wall. Somewhere behind him a dog barked, and another wheezed and growled in the distance, but Tyrae kept walking. Though it was only 6 blocks from Fatburger, the neighborhood was very different. Everyone at Bluford knew that 43rd Street was rough. Sure, there were some old people and a few families, but at night, they weren't out. Instead, once the sun went down, they hid inside small single-story homes with iron bars on their windows and their doors shut and locked. After dark, the area was a place where no one went unless they were looking for something they shouldn't have. Tyrae had gone there the first time he wanted to buy a gun. He had no idea that was where Lark lived. Tyrae reached 43rd Street and began looking for Lark's house. She had said she lived on a corner, but which one? He scanned each. At the last one stood a tiny gray house, its walls drab and peeling, a trash can sitting on the curb. Inside, the windows glowed yellow against the growing darkness. In one, Tyrae spotted a large tan cat. He knew it was the right place. He walked up to the tiny porch and knocked on the door. Within seconds, he heard footsteps. Then the door opened. Lark faced him, her eyes swollen and wet from tears.
"What is it? What happened?" he asked.
"It's Kyle. He's over there now. I know he doesn't want to be there, but he's scared. He's afraid to tell them no. But they want him to start running for them, making deliveries. I can't call the police. What am I supposed to do?"
"Where's the gun?"
"I hid it so he couldn't find it. He's so upset, thinks they're going to get mad at him and me, but I can't let him have it. He's going to hurt someone or get himself killed."
Tyrae snapped. He couldn't stand to see Lark so upset, and he couldn't bear the thought of Londell hurting a member of her family. First it was his brother. Then him, now his only friend. It was too much.
"Give it to me," he barked.
Maybe it would give him protection, he thought, a chance to take back something from Londell that wasn't his, Lark's brother.
"What? No, Tyrae, I can't do that. I can't have something happen to you. I ain't gonna use it. I'm gonna get Kyle back. Please, Tyrae, don't go over there. Don't do this. I can't have you getting hurt for me."
"I'm going either way, but I got a better chance of coming back if you give it to me. Come on, girl," he urged.
Tears streamed from Lark's eyes as she rushed back into her house. Seconds later, she came out holding a black handgun as if it disgusted and frightened her.
"What are you going to do? Promise me you're coming back."
Tyrae slipped the gun from her hand and shoved it under the waist of his pants. Then he grabbed the envelope of money from his pocket.
"Here you go," he said. "It's everything I took from you and more. It's yours. It's what I promised, remember?"
"Wait, why do you sound that way? Why are you giving all this to me?
He turned away even as she kept calling his name. He had tried to hide his worry, but the words had given it away. He knew he might not come back. He wanted to pay her just in case. Tyree crossed 43rd Street and then slowed down, careful not to draw attention to himself. Parked on the curb up ahead was the golden Nissan Tyree had seen so many times. He knew eyes might be watching him as he headed up the block. He didn't have much time. His heart rattled in his chest. His stomach churned. He knew he was in over his head. He could feel it even as he stepped closer to the house. Like so many times before, the world was slipping out of control again. He knew it and wished he could pull it back, bring it back from the edge, but his feet kept moving, carrying him closer. Up ahead, he could see the familiar cracked sidewalk, the stained cement driveway, the small enclosed porch not much different than his own. Tyree reached down and felt the warm metal of the gun against his palm. His hands tingled as if invisible spiders were crawling on his fingers. He couldn't believe he was back where he had been only a month ago. He had come so far in that time. He could see it now. He had reconnected with Warren. He got a job. He was even doing a little better in school. But still, it was as if he was stuck in quicksand. A kind of gravity was pulling him down, even though he knew inside that it was wrong and dangerous and stupid. Maybe if Warren wasn't in jail, maybe if school wasn't full of people who hated him, maybe if Dad's ugly words hadn't echoed in his mind for weeks, maybe then he could stop himself. But not now. A grim momentum carried him forward. The anger at Londell, the outrage of what was happening to Lark, the frustration of what had happened to him for weeks, it drove him. He crept up the driveway that ran next to the house. Inside, lights were on. People were talking. He heard a boy's voice. He was sure it was Kyle. Tyree paused, took a last deep breath, and pulled out the weapon. Whap! A claw-like hand gripped his shoulder. Tyree jerked free and turned with the gun to see Bones. In the dim light, his face looked shadowy and hollow.
Man, what you doing here?
Tyree hissed.
Been following you.
Bones wheezed, trying to catch his breath.
Knew you was in trouble. Saw it in your face, he said with a weak, raspy voice.
His weary eyes focused on the gun.
Don't do this.
Man, this ain't about you. Just go home.
Tyree heard the porch door open behind him. He whipped around with the gun, but Bones grabbed it.
I wasn't going to use it. Let go.
Tyree snarled, trying to shake the gun free, but the skinny man clung to the weapon as if his life were at stake. With both arms, he twisted and bent Tyree's hand backward. A burning stab of pain shot into his wrist. With his other hand useless, Tyree had to let go.
What are you doing?
He screamed in outrage. Bones staggered two steps, stumbled, and then fell to the ground. His chest heaved as he lay on the cement. Londell stood right in front of him. He glanced once at Bones and then glared at Tyree as if the sick man wasn't even there.
Boy, you're even dumber than your brother,
Londell fumed. The porch door opened again, and Jupiter and Keenan rushed out. Next to them stood a shorter, baby-faced boy with Lark's cheekbones. Tyree knew it was Kyle. He looked as if he was ready to throw up.
Dang, look at these two. Broken bones and skin and bones, Jupiter said as he stepped into the driveway.
I warned you last time, but you didn't listen. Now you're done. We going for a ride. Let's go,
Londell said. Bones coughed then, making a horrific gurgling sound. Tyree could hear the fluid in his lungs as he heaved and spit onto the ground. Jupiter stopped for a second and stared at the man.
Go on, Jupe. Throw this punk in the car,
Londell ordered.
No,
Bones gasped, his voice almost a gargle. Amazingly, the man stood up. His mouth hung open as he gasped for air. A thin trail of fluid ran from his lip to his chin, and yet his eyes still burned with a determined fire as he stumbled closer. Londell stepped back as if he was surprised. Jupiter stood frozen. Kyle's jaw dropped.
Bones, you like a legend out here, but this ain't about you,
Londell said. Tyree could see a cruel glint in his eye.
No disrespect, but I got a score to settle with this punk.
You had your time. This is my time. Bones staggered between Tyrae and Londell as if he was trying to shield Tyrae.
Me and your pops were friends. Had each other's backs for years. You remember, don't you?
Bones spoke barely above a whisper, stopping once to cough and spit. Londell's eyes narrowed at the mention of his father. Jupiter turned toward Bones then, too.
Bro, he don't look so good,
whispered Keenan to Jupiter.
He promised me, if I needed a favor, to call him,
Bones continued.
So, I'm asking you, a last favor to an old friend. Tyrae and this other boy, they with me. Let them go.
Bones' eyes locked on Londell's. For an instant, the two stared at each other. Tyrae felt glued to the driveway. He knew his own life hung in the balance. Part of him wanted to strip the gun from Bones' hand, but another part knew better. Bones was struggling to save him and Kyle, two kids he barely knew. It was a heroic gesture Tyrae couldn't fully comprehend, even as he listened to each breath rattle in the man's chest. Suddenly, another violent spasm ripped through Bones' body. He collapsed to his hands and knees. The gun fell to the ground with a heavy clunk. All of them stared at it for an instant. Keenan turned away as Bones spat up a bloody glob. Jupiter gazed on as if he was witnessing an accident happen in slow motion. Kyle turned away as if he was horrified. Londell grunted and picked up the weapon, but Tyrae didn't care. He rushed to Bones' side and kneeled next to him, hoping he could help in some way.
He needs an ambulance, Tyrae pleaded.
Bones' hands and legs twitched with each cough as he labored for air.
Please!
Londell watched them for a few seconds and then turned toward his house. The older boys followed him, glancing back at Bones several times. Kyle was motionless, his unblinking eyes now fixed on Bones.
Don't either of you come back here, or you'll end up like him,
Londell said. He glared at Tyrae, and then at Kyle before walking back inside and shutting the door. Bones lay sprawled on the cement. An ambulance came 10 minutes later, but by then it was too late. Tyrae was still at Bones' side when the flashing lights first sliced the darkness. He had heard the man whisper his last words just before a coughing spell stole his final breath.
Make it count.
Tyrae watched as the paramedics pumped Bones' chest and wheeled him into the back of the ambulance. Kyle sat motionless on the curb nearby, his head between his knees as the door slammed shut and the vehicle raced away. The small crowd that had been drawn by the flashing lights began to disperse when someone shouted out,
Tyrae! Kyle!
Tyrae turned to see Lark. She ran straight to her brother's side and hugged him. The boy's eyes glistened in the streetlight, and he lowered his head into her shoulder. He looked like a young child in her arms.
I saw the ambulance and was so worried. Are you both okay?
She asked, looking toward Tyrae. He nodded but couldn't speak. There were no words to describe what he had witnessed, no way to explain the gift that Bones had just given them. An hour later, Lark's mom drove Tyrae back to his house. Lark sat next to him in the back seat, whispering to him words that he had never heard before, words that gradually pulled him back from the horrors of the night and into the moment with her.
Thank you. You're the bravest person I ever met. I can't believe what you did for us.
Lark's mother and Kyle had said the same thing, but Lark kept close to him, rubbing his back and holding his hand. Once she wiped a tear racing down his cheek, and he stared into her face. Her eyes shone with concern and gratitude, respect and appreciation. It was as if he had been trapped on some deserted island, and somehow, after everything, she had now come to rescue him. He couldn't help but notice the mysterious mark where she had been hurt long ago. Despite whatever damage had been done, Lark had remained honest and gentle and true.
It was all new to him, treasures he had never seen before.
You need to talk to me, she urged at a red light near his house. I need to know what's going on in there.
You don't even want to know, he mumbled.
No, Tyree, I do,
she replied, touching the cast where she had written.
Don't you get it? I do.
Tyree closed his eyes and leaned into her. He felt the warmth of her body against his. Hot tears rolled down his face, streams of pain and sorrow that seemed to know no end. He couldn't talk now. It was all too much, too soon. But for the first time in his memory, he realized that he had someone who wanted to hear what he had to say, someone who trusted and valued him, no matter what anyone else said. It was a new world waiting to be discovered. Thanks to Bones, he would be able to explore it with her. The man had bought him that chance. But what did that mean? Tyree didn't know. So much was wrong at home with his family, his brother was still in jail, and Londell was still out there. None of that had changed. Yet inside, after everything, he felt different somehow. He had pulled a kid off the streets, at least for now. He had helped a friend and stood up for what was right. The more he thought about it, the more he knew that Dad and Jamie and the others at Blueford were wrong about him. He had made mistakes, but he was a good person, too. Because of Bones, he had avoided prison and death. He had also reconnected with Warren, something he knew he would do again. Maybe every Sunday from now on. And he had fulfilled his promise to Lark. Now what would happen with her? He had no idea. For an instant, he pictured them together at the movies, seeing moonlight as if they were just like anybody else, a normal couple. It was silly, but it made him grateful for the possibilities. Paths once invisible suddenly opened to him. Tyree could see them now. Bones had shown him that.
Make it count, Bones had said.
I will,
Tyree answered him. It was a kind of promise, he realized, one he knew he had to keep. The next day, after a late-night talk that left his parents in stunned silence, Tyree Hobbs took the long ride back to Cliffside Prison. Only this time, he was in the back seat of his parents' car. They had decided to join him. Tyree couldn't believe it. Dad's jaw was tight, and Mom looked nervous as they got in the car together. There was still so much that needed to be said. Tyree could feel it like an invisible passenger sitting next to him. Yet their car kept moving forward. Soon the four of them would be together as a family for the first time in a year. It was a miracle. Tyree knew he had made it happen as he gazed out the window. Under the warm Sunday morning sun, the highway stretched out before them, full of twists and uncertainty. But for Tyree, it was grounded in something even stronger. Hope.